Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Jimmy Ray, and this is SenCal Pro Radio.
Can you stand the rain?
Broadcasting live from the W.L. Fraley Studios in beautiful Dismal Beach, California. We are coming to you each and every week. It doesn't really matter what time because you know it is prime time. And it's SenCal Pro Radio prime time. What's going on, everyone? I'm Jimmy Ray. Thank you for once again tuning in to the broadcast that makes Wednesday night fun. And, you know, we kind of got the indication that other radio shows weren't going to run tonight and that this is just going to be a week off, you know. Oh, hey, we had WrestleMania. We had our fun. We did what we needed to, and we're just going to take the week off. And, you know, honestly, I can't blame them. I kind of wanted to, too. But, damn it, somebody's got to do radio tonight, right? Somebody's got to, you know, hold the banner up, so to speak, for, you know, the listening audience. Not everybody gets to watch what goes on in the ring. Some people, if you don't have the internet, I guess, you guys know what I'm trying to get at. Before we go any further, though, we'd like to definitely thank our sponsors of the show. Referring to, the law offices of Dennis James Balsamo in San Luis Obispo, and also Traditional Tattoo. These two places were diligent in selling tickets for us at our inaugural show just over a week ago. It's amazing how much changes for you in a week, you know, what 1 week can bring. And the response that we had from our fans that were here to see the show, people that bought our tickets, we didn't even have a product to sell. We had nothing but a promise that SenCal Pro was going to deliver and deliver something awesome. And if you guys would just show up to our audience, we could prove it to you. And we had over 250 screaming fans prove to us that that's exactly what they wanted to happen. And we gave them to them. We delivered the action the fans of the Central Coast have been wanting to see for months and months and months. I mean, the Grad has never had, you know, we were told they've never had alcohol sales and food sales quite like they had for a Sunday night since we ran. In fact, they said, and I quote, record alcohol sales for the night of Sunday. That's pretty cool. You know, that's heavy hand to pour on, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of like, wow, that's, needless to say, SenCal Pro is here to stay, and they want us back at the Grad. And the next time you guys can check SenCal Pro out at the Grad is going to be in May 24th. Mark your calendars now. So many people said they wanted to show up, and then when they realized how soon it was, you know, they thought, oh, it's weeks away, it's months away. You know, they put it off, and they put it off, and then what happened? That's right. Oh, I got to work. Oh, the kids are here. Oh, excuses. Hey, look, I am the king of excuses. I know that everybody's got them. So what I'm saying is make an excuse to come check out SenCal next time because you will not need another excuse to see what we deliver after you come to just one show. It's totally like this show that gets you hooked on the Indie Pro. You know, if you're here in San Luis Obispo, you've never seen Indie Pro before, come check out SenCal Pro. You will be hooked on Indie Pro, and I guarantee you, you're going to be like rushing up north to go check out APW and, you know, PCW. Then you're going to rush down south, and you're going to want to check out what they got over at, you know, Lucha Extreme and what's going on at UEW. And then you're going to come back and check out SenCal, and we're going to say, hey, you know, if we're not running this week, why don't you go check out, you know, Pro Wrestling Revolution? You see, we're just going to send you all over Action Coast Empire, Hood Slam. You know, we're just going to keep sending you left and right because Indie Pro Wrestling is hot in California. I mean, if there is people wonder, why do I pay so much for California rent? You know, it is bull crap that I got to pay so much to live here in California. You want to know why? Look how much Indie Pro we get. But really, just dead silence, huh? You know, no sell from the audience here? Yeah, well, I personally think that, you know, there's certain perks to living in certain states. I would see wrestling federations like every 200 miles, give or take, in a single direction. I would see that as a hell of a perk to living in California. But where to live in California? Northern California or Southern California? I mean, both territories have unbelievable wrestling companies. Which one to choose? Well, if you can't choose, why not make them face off against each other? And that is exactly our demographic here at SenCal Pro. We have decided to have the Battle of California. Why not showcase the best that Northern California has? Why not showcase the best that Southern California has? And put them on a stage together. Most of these guys rarely get to see each other on a normal basis. I mean, when you're traveling doing shows, I mean, I'm sorry, there's only so many weekends and so many months. No slant to any other promoters, but hey, everybody's got to pick a day. And sometimes days overlap. And so, most people try to do them in different hours to let talent, work. But in some cases, you simply just can't be 700 miles away in just a few hours or even the next day at times. So that being the case, just a lot of these guys don't ever get to, wrestle each other naturally in the wild, as they would call it. You've got to go to great lengths for these guys to ever see each other. And that's unfair. And I think it's unfair to the fans, too, because I think it opens up a new venue for indie pro wrestling that you don't get to see everywhere else, only because they can't get to all these places. We're the middle ground, It's like everyone, since, pro wrestling isn't the first one to capitalize on, the battle of North and South. I mean, let's face it, NorCal and SoCal, it's always kind of been at odds for a while. That's sort of the jam of California, You got to have your battle, if you will, for I don't know why. I mean, we were taught to believe that in high school and for all that nonsense. I mean, it's just one of those things you just do, not really quite sure, why. And I guess why doesn't really matter because, you just need to have a battleground just to do it. And it's not like we're killing each other. Thankfully, we get to come back each and every time and prove it again and again. And I'm not really quite sure who won the battle of North and South this at our inaugural show. I mean, really, North and South kind of just tore the house down. I think if anybody won, it was any place that wasn't, Central California, because Central California got rocked like it was the second coming of the San Simeon quake. And we weren't quite ready for it, but we did have the retrofitting we needed since last time. Google that, people. It happened. It was here. that's just that's how it is, to be able to deliver that kind of, impact, to leave some kind of crater, to leave some kind of mark on the territory that you plan to return in, that is the hope and dream of any modern professional. And so being modern professionals, this is modern-day gladiating professionals bringing what they have to the ring each and every time. Tonight on the show, we have some former I can't exactly call them former. I mean, everybody's former. We only had one show. But, I've seen these guys at other places. I mean, these two guys, Jimmy Mayhem, Max Ammo, you definitely know them. People, if you've ever watched indie pro wrestling in SoCal, you've heard of Urban Discipline because I know you've heard of UEW. I know you've heard of the Los Angeles territories. UEW is definitely a friend to SenCal Pro. That is like our sister promotion or our brother promotion. Our brother's sister's promotion. The promotion that our brother's sister dated the guy. Well, you guys get the idea. We're close, man. We're tight. And so it's no surprise that when they heard of SenCal Pro, the UEW guys said, hey, look at that. Another place to go, stomp some mud holes, like poke some holes in the aluminum, so to speak. And the UEW guys have made their impact. Tonight, I am pleased to announce that I got Urban Discipline here. Max Ammo from Urban Discipline has decided to speak on behalf of Urban Discipline to kind of set the tone of the evening, if you will. He's definitely here with a message. One of the more outspoken wrestlers that I have met in the last few years. Max Ammo is not afraid to kind of just go out there, say what needs to be said, and, he doesn't really care who gets mad at him. And that's the important thing is he doesn't want to, hurt anybody, but he wants to hurt everybody, if you're in the ring. And if you stand on the wrong side of Max Ammo, you might be there when the bullet goes off. So I'm bringing him out right now, ladies and gentlemen, all the way from the streets of Los Angeles. Max Ammo, are you there, brother?
Yeah, hello, Jimmy Ray.
Hey man, how's it going?
Hey, it's going pretty good actually. Yeah.
I gotta say, man, when I visited UEW a few months ago, I was surprised to see a lot of the familiar faces that I was already familiar with over at UEW. And I didn't realize that when we were there, somebody else who had, you know, catered aboard, I didn't realize Discord was along for the ride, but apparently he was doing some scouting. And so the night that I saw you, Discord found out we were going, stuck inside the vehicle, like downloaded himself virus status, made it over there and somehow connected with you guys. Did you expect to see Discord out there?
I wasn't surprised, given the underground nature of UEW. You know, it attracts a lot of very frightening and deviant elements. So when Discord appeared, it came as no surprise to me. And he came to us with a very interesting offer.
Really?
Yes.
Now, Discord has been known since his time, since he has emerged, and I'm not really quite sure how Discord emerged into this planet, be it animal, mineral, or vegetable. I'm not quite sure which vessel actually brought him here. Not quite sure if I even thank that vessel for doing it, but that's for a different show. Just the same, though, Discord certainly had his sights on, you know, two more or less familiar faces. And when you guys came out, I mean, Urban Discipline was a very fitting name. You know, when I heard the name Urban Discipline, one can only surmise, oh, okay, you know, I can only think of, you know, getting a good street-style beatdown. And, well, pardon my cheeky pun, but that's exactly what you guys brought to the ring. I remember you literally brought stuff from, like, the construction site next door. I saw you guys show up. You literally grabbed stuff right off this construction site like you worked there, you know, do not cross and what have you. Just pulling stuff away, and I thought, well, okay, that's one way to walk into a building. Little did I know you guys were going to end up using that in your match.
Yes, you know, well, that's the UEW way. You know, we just use whatever's lying around, you know, to hurt our opponents, incapacitate them, concuss them. And, you know, those heavy plastic road signs, they can crack someone's skull pretty effectively, you know.
Yeah, that was something that I was kind of noticing there. I thought, wow, you know, this brings a whole new definition and a very dark light to the term urban discipline. And certainly dishing out the discipline there, I thought for sure, I said, wow, you know, this is the kind of stuff that happens in L.A., right? You know, so thankfully when we go back home to San Luis Obispo, you know, we don't have to worry about that. We don't have, you know, guys nearly that, you know, rough. And play the game like that over here. It's, you know, a little different style. And then only to find Urban Discipline is booked to work at the first SenCal show. And I thought, oh, crap. Well, so much for trying to get our daytime award for the younger audience. We're now going to have to go for a more racier award a little later. But
well, I think we have to be honest, Jimmy Ray. I mean, you have a bias against us and Discord anyway. You know, after he drooled all over your hat at the last show. So I think we should just say that for clarity for all the listeners before we continue with this interview.
Well, sure. That is a hard-to-refute point, I got to say. But, you know, I'll give you guys the benefit of the doubt. Now that I know, I know Discord, given all of his, you know, handicaps, if you will, and I don't mean that in a mental or physical way. I mean literally the ways he likes to, stop his adversaries, if you will, in odd ways of spitting inside their articles of clothing. I don't exactly carry that over to anybody he manages. You know, I loved Tilo the Insano back when, you know, he was managed, and Tilo turned evil, if you will, and I thought, well, he corrupted Tilo. Damn that Discord. I gotta say, though, You and Jimmy Mayhem, you're so corrupt, and you guys are already, like, well up there. I mean, if anything, I think, I don't know, but Discord kind of might be getting more evil than he was just by knowing you guys.
Well, I mean, that's true. We are, we'd already crossed over to the dark side, let me put it that way, before we met Discord. I mean, in fact, it was our mutual love of evil, you know, and just generally being bastards to make us start attack ever in the first place. But he made us an offer to come up to the Central Coast, and, you know, the opportunity to wrestle athletes, you know, the caliber of keepers of the faith, so there was no way we could say no to that.
I'm not quite sure who voluntarily decided to go up against Gabriel Gallo and Dom Vitale. I mean, that's more or less one of those, you know, firing squad things where... Yeah?
I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, stepping into the square circle with Gabriel Gallo was a little bit like being thrown in a pit with a silverback gorilla. You know? And, I mean, you know, we could dwell on the fact that Don Vitale just kept coming back. You know, I beat him down, he kept coming back. You know, we could dwell on that, but, you know, let's move on to, you know,
well, I gotta say, I saw you guys. Go ahead.
Yeah, because, I mean, let's move on to what happened afterwards, because we definitely got some retribution with our nightsticks on the end of the match, you know.
Yeah, I saw that, too.
Especially Gabriel Gallo's surgically repaired knee. We worked that over pretty good. I shouldn't imagine he'll be walking yet, so.
Yeah. Well, you know, I got to say, you guys made our local news. Your match, actually.
Yes. Yeah, we saw that.
Yeah, filmed a little bit. I didn't realize that we had the news going in there. So I've been like, hey, guys, I'll talk to you an extra, you know, little something if you guys film the rest of the show. You know, more cameras, the merrier, you know. But they're like, we got to go and, you know, did the whole cough, cough, got to walk out the door type deal. But, you know, at least they got a little bit of clips of what was going on. And when they did, sure enough, they got your guys' match, which goes to show.
I've got to say, there were so many great matches that night. Every match was so good. So it was pretty cool to up it made it, you know.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and that's the thing for anybody to realize about the opening match. You know, I myself am not a wrestler, so I don't know. I can't even complain or even comprehend what it's got to be like to come out first versus last. But apparently in San Luis Obispo, because, you know, the photogs of all the news organizations and all that, on Sundays, guys, they don't want to work past like 8 or 9 o'clock, for real. In fact, they don't even really want to work past like 7 o'clock or even 6 o'clock. If they can get in there and get out by, like, 5 o'clock, they're done. They're home and gone for the day. So if you work opening match, if you work second match, like, almost guaranteed you're going to get in the newspaper and be all over the news, like, the first three matches. So, like, in most places, I guess, you know, the first three matches, you know, people are like, oh, whatever, opening match, mid card. What do they call that? Curtain jerker? Is that the term they use?
Curtain jerker, yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah, you know, curtain jerking or whatever. Apparently it's going to pay to curtain jerk. Sorry, that just sounds silly. it's going to pay to do that here in San Luis Obispo because you'll get in the paper. I mean, we had Sage Sin made the her and Kikyo right there on the cover along with Jacob Diaz and Kaden Anthony. You guys were featured in a video segment on their website and on the local news later on that night and throughout the week. It just goes to show that, you know, the main event is, of course, our spectacle, but there's a reason why the lower matches and the beginning matches are just as prized and beloved, too. We have another caller from the 818. Go ahead. You were live with Max Ammo. Jimmy Ray, who's this?
Jimmy Ray and Max Ammo. This is old man Bill.
Old man Bill. Ammo, who's old man Bill? Do you know old man Bill?
OMB.
Yeah. Hey, old man Bill. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, Max. How are you?
I'm well, thank you, man.
Sorry I missed that show up there in SinCal, but I was at another show helping out. But I heard a lot about it, and hopefully I can make up the next one, come up there as a new promoter, and scout the talent.
Oh, no, headhunter, no scouting. We started these guys. They're our guys. Only we get them. They can't go anywhere. You don't want to. Isn't that the same obsessive rant that you hear often? Please scout our guys. I hope you come to our show and like some of these guys and get them booked, man. I want to hear that these guys are getting jobs everywhere.
Don't worry, Jimmy Ray. I'll be coming up the next show for sure and checking it out.
Old man Bill, essentially.
Hopefully you get Max and Jimmy Ray, Jimmy on my show someday also.
Max and Mayhem, yeah. You know, these guys, I mean,
yeah, well, we'll be happy
there.
To do that, Bill.
So I've
seen a wily manager of theirs, that Cyberpunk Discord. He's a fun little addition to that bunch, Bill.
True. Yes. So what kind of crowd did you have up there in SoCal?
Well, Max, I mean, I can go ahead. I mean, why don't we have some of our talent? What was it like? What did you think the talent looked like? I've actually been accused of inflating inflating.
I would say it was around 250. Around 250, you know, and they were enthusiastic. They were into the show, you know. And
there were a lot of satisfied fans afterwards, you know.
Yeah, I kind of remember going to that venue long, long, long time ago when I started coming to wrestling. I think I graduated. That's a good place to have a show.
Yeah,
you know,
it is.
A great
it's a cool
place
venue
to have
too.
The show.
It's
they
really
have food.
Easy to get a beer and get food, and then you've got the table to sit at, you know.
True. All right, I'm just going to let you guys go. I'm going to get back to do some more booking stuff, so I'll talk to you guys later.
Oh, dang.
Okay,
well, thanks for calling,
Bill.
No problem, man. Talk to you guys later.
Hey,
see you
later, Bill.
Bye.
But geez, Emma, look at that, man. It sounds like you got quite yourself a following down there in Los Angeles. I mean, there's no way a bad guy can be this bad. You're like Wreck-It Ralph. You know, you're a bad guy. You're not good, but that's not bad, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think people are starting to appreciate, you know, what me and Jimmy Mayhem do. You know? You know, they understand we do what we do out of necessity. You know.
I got the greatest idea, like, if there was, like, a comic book crossover, right? Like, some freak accident, like, in a laboratory happens, like, you know, late one night, you know, Jimmy. Meanwhile, in the SoCal labs, deep in the catacombs of SoCal Tower, Jimmy Ray is doing a science experiment where he's mixing chemicals from urban discipline and from SoCal. And then all of a sudden, like, you know, something goes wrong, you know, explosions happen, stuff fizzes out of the glass and it shatters and breaks, and all of a sudden, the molecules of Jimmy Mayhem and the molecules of Jimmy Ray unfortunately get combined to create this weird collage super creature known only as Jimmy Ray-ham. And tell me that's like not worth at least $15.
It's a terrifying concept.
I see.
It is oddly terrifying. I don't know if you could be trusted, Jimmy Ray, with the kind of power, you know, that Jimmy Mayhem has. You might run amok, you know. It might be too much.
Yeah, think about that. You know, if you combine,
you'll be running around,
Jimmy Mayhem,
you know, getting people to big boot all over the place.
Right. Think of all the things that Jimmy Mayhem brings to the table, and then just put a fedora on top of it, you know. And then it's Jimmy Mayhem. I don't know.
Fedora's covered in Discord's green drool for sure.
See, and that's what it is. And then they find out that the green drool from Discord was actually the catalyst that caused everything to happen when Jimmy Ray put his hat on at the end of the night. And then they find out that was Discord's involvement to create the super creature known as Jimmy Ray-ham. And then I don't know what – you have to buy the next comic book to figure out what exactly Discord does from that point forward. But you see, and that could be a good story, though, right?
Yeah, I'd like to see the artwork for that. I read the first issue for sure.
Oh yeah, that's Hey, you see that? We're already selling comic books here. I think we're just gonna close the show and just go right to the comic book store at this point because it's pretty lucrative, man. It's looking hot for us. But oh shoot. Well, you know, Max, let me ask you, brother. How exactly did you wind up in the wrestling business? I know I've seen you around for a long time, but I mean, what was really your inspiration? Were you always a wrestler? Do you have any military background? Or
no, I don't have a military background. No. My father was friends with a wrestler called Jackie Palo, so I went to see like wrestling matches with my dad, you know, like when I was very young. So I always worked with my dad, and then I started training in 2005. I wrestled for a couple of years, and then when my dad died, I really lost my enthusiasm for it, and I quit. And until I moved out to California,
from the UK, and then, you know, there's such a great scene in SoCal, you know, I just thought I have to get back in the ring and start training again. So I started training at Rick Drazen's with Fern and Austin Draven, and that's where I met Jimmy Mayhem, Mr. Tanaka, you know, a bunch of guys that I all see run the indie circuit now.
Wow, yeah, you know, it's funny, you know, Tanaka and a lot of those guys, you know, I think when I first saw you, I'm almost positive that's who I saw you with. And it's crazy to think that was, I guess, how many years ago would you say now?
Well, we did a show for DC, the first show that we ever wrestled in the U.S. was, and Jimmy Mayhem was in two, was a battle royale for Fern's company, DCW, and that was on 10-10-10. So 5 years ago now.
Oh, dang. Okay. And,
yeah.
Wow, straight from the UK, man. You know, that's one of the better imports we have. You know, if only we could just, you know, close our borders to some of the parts of French Canada, you know, where Celine Dion is. Wherever Celine Dion is, if we could just build a border around her and just seal it. And then I would be willing to let anything from Canada at that point spill into the United States.
Yeah.
That's an amazing story to know that, you know, you kind of came from, you know, I would say beyond humble upbringings, you know, even from kind of a sad upbringing, really, with, you know, taking something kind of painful and turning it into fuel for the fire and really kind of making a career out of it. And now, you know, can only imagine how proud both, you know, those above and those still here are of you being here. And I'm proud of you, man. I've seen the road that you've had so far, and, you know, there's certainly been times on the internet where I've seen, you know, you've had certain opinions that were kind of contrary to what some other inflated opinions of others had been, and you decided to speak out, and you decided to make sure your opinion was known. And although we don't really need to go into detail as to who those were about and who those were to, the point is, that definitely spoke a lot about you, both as an in-ring performer and as who wrestlers are supposed to be outside of the ring. I mean, because let's face it, the show doesn't end when you guys leave the ring. To the internet, for some of you, the show kind of continues on for quite some time, and you don't always get the luxury of just being off and not having to be. You know, the show is always going, you know? And so, kind of thanks to that, you know, we all have to mind our P's and Q's, as it would be, you know, just to not upset somebody or just to not piss somebody off or just, I don't want heat with so-and-so, so I'm not going to speak my mind. And it's like, you know, if having heat with somebody who's speaking your mind, then the person who has the heat with you clearly can't take the heat and probably shouldn't be where they're at.
Yeah, well, I think that's very true. You know, I mean, I've often actually kind of got myself in trouble speaking my mind, so it's not a new thing for me, you know. But at the same time, I don't want to unnecessarily dredge up the past, you know.
Right.
Yeah, but hey. I mean, so I just find it very hard to talk about things without just going into specifics, you know, and I don't want to do that. I'm not very good at, like, kind of, you know, dancing around things, man.
Yeah, you know, no sense beating around the bush. You know, when you got, like, a, you know, an issue, you just go out and say it. And I got to admit, you know, that it really speaks a lot about you to be able to stand up and you know, just, you know, speak your mind. And when you think, you know, call what it is. You know, you call bullshit on somebody, you just do it because, you know, they're full of shit and you're calling shit on them. You know, it takes a real strong-willed person to stand up and call bullshit on someone that may be in a better position than them. You know, that may be able to, you know, do something about what you're doing. And it's just, you know, any time that, you know, I guess that I'm reminded that the people can be right. And when oppression or when something from above kind of takes place, it takes a strong-willed person to stand up and speak. And that's exactly the platform I think pro wrestling was designed and thrives on. And you are a classic example of the type of person and the type of performer that I think I and many of the Central Coast fans want to see in the ring.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah. Well, I mean, if someone does something that's just, you know, that is just clearly wrong,
you know, then, you know, it's, then I, you know, you've got to say something about it, I feel, you know. And people should just keep that crap off social media, to be honest, because it just hurts the business anyway, the drama, you know. It doesn't help anybody at the end of the day, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is heat is such a funny thing, you know, the term they use in the industry to describe having, you know, beef, as the gangsters would call it, or a loss for words, or, I don't know, you're pissed at somebody, you want to cause shit, you want to talk shit, whatever it is, you want somebody to get upset and unnerved at your hand or your gesture. That's, you know, to call it what it is, that's what it is. And to really continue the heat on is really childish. It's kind of like one of the things where it's like, wow, how many more people are you going to make yourself look bad to before you finally decide to just say, okay, I'm going to, you know, cash out at this point, you know, cash out everything I got and say, okay, I'm done making myself look like a fool, I'm done making myself look like an ass. Clearly, I'm upsetting my audience and I'm dividing them. If that, why not just talk about better things, you know? So it's like to really maintain this online heat, as you were, you know, referring to. I don't know about you, but I don't think that's very helpful to one's career. I think that actually kind of hurts their career and or the industry slightly as a whole. What do you think?
No, I think it's just negative. And I mean, you know, I had, well, I mean, I was told firsthand by people I have 100% trust for. You know, there was stuff going down before the first Senkal show with, like, posters being taken down and stuff. And I mean, that kind of thing is just ridiculous, you know. You know, to try and hurt a gate on another show like that, it's just stupid. I mean, it doesn't help anyone.
No, it hurts the product. It hurts the overall product to all the fans.
Yeah, but I mean, and, you should put that energy should go into promoting your own product anyway, selling your own product, you know?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And, you know, and to think that it would even be someone from within the industry or even someone to, you know, that is keen to what the industry is about, you would think they would do something, you know, anything to help the industry any way they can rather than try and, I don't know, close the show, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I quite often read, you know, negative remarks about UEW that people make from other promotions. And, you know, they're always based around the fact, like, the shows are too bloody, you know, too hardcore, the death matches are too hardcore. And the thing that's ironic is none of these promotions are running in the same area or running for the same audience. They're all, like, family-oriented promotions. So
sure.
I don't even, what is even their problem, you know? I mean, what, you know,
that's it. You nailed it. You nailed it right on the head. You know, there's no problem with it. Being able to just say, you know, why not let the other show run? You know, why? I don't know. If you ask me, it's just one of those things where, you know, are you really doing the best for the industry or are you doing what's best for yourself? And that's where I think, you know, the line in the sand is, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, for me, it just shows that UEW is doing something right, you know, because, I mean, I love that whole, like, punk rock attitude, you know, pissing people off and, you know.
Yeah, you guys at UEW, you're definitely out there doing it right. I mean, I personally, I've had so much fun being out there. I just wish I could be part of the show somehow, some way. When I go to UEW, all right, Jimmy Ray gets to gallivant around backstage and hang out. Ooh, social hour. And then when the show starts, it's like, wait, do you even have a pass or a ticket? Do you even work here? And it's like, nah, no, not exactly. but, you know, maybe someday, maybe the powers that be over at UEW, maybe, just maybe, they will find a spot for Jimmy Ray. I don't know. You never know. I have a very small resume. I don't take bumps at all, and I don't wrestle. So if there's anything that you have for me in wrestling that doesn't require wrestling or taking bumps, then I can do it. So
it will almost be certain to involve Discord dribbling on your hat, I think.
So basically, you know, to work in pro wrestling, I'm just going to have to own a steady supply of fedoras, disposable.
Yeah. Yeah, and the more shows you do with Discord, the cheaper and cheaper the fedoras are going to get as you have to replace them more and more often, you know?
Yeah, yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. Anybody in the L.A. area, if you make cheap fedoras, contact Jimmy Ray.
Like plastic. Get a plastic one, like white king one.
Yeah, what if maybe like made it polyurethane. That way I can just, you know, I can pressure wash it at the end of every night and then it won't lose form, right?
Well, pleather, you know.
Polyethylene.
Free
in the wrestling, I don't
know. Better get a pleather fedora.
Oh, shoot, that's funny.
Escobar season has returned.
Oh.
It's been a long time. It's been a long time coming. It's like the death of me, man. But you know, there's no turning back now. This is what makes me. This is what I am, Billy.
You can hate me now.
QB.
But I won't stop now.
You must have known, Jimmy Ray, that I'd be here on CenCal Pro Radio.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, wrestling personified, Rick Luxury.
Anyone more fitting to be on this radio show to drop in at the drop of a dime with their own theme music? Well, that would be uncivilized. I'm here, Jimmy Ray, after a huge week of professional wrestling in the state of California, from SoCal to NorCal to SinCal. I Wrestling Personified competed in one of the grandest tournaments ever established in the entire wrestling game, representing all promotions said earlier in the show and also promotions not said. I represented California as a whole, SinCal Wrestling that is involved in that, as a part of the King of the Indies tournament.
Oh, absolutely, man. It's, what a weekend.
And I'll tell you, right now you got Max Ammo on your show tonight for SinCal Radio. Max Ammo, you guys had a great showing at the last show, but the problem is there was a little disruption at the end with a couple of kids that I'm very familiar with, a little bit of rough scallions, known as the Perfect Kings, Lee Perfetto and J.J. King. These kids are hungry. They're trying to make a name for themselves. They might have bit off a little more than they could chew, though, by messing around with the likes of yourself and Jimmy Mayhem. But hungry kids have to learn lessons once in a while. Just like Robbie Phoenix had to learn a lesson at the last SinCal show when I wiped the mat with them and threw them from pillar to pillar, post to post. And just like Sledge and old J.D. Horror are going to learn a lesson come May 24th when SinCal Wrestling returns to the Grad in San Luis Obispo. Are you lost for words, Jimmy Ray? Are you lost for words, Jimmy Ray? Do you have the Amiibo fever going right now?
I got it. It's on. It's hot. You know, I just gotta wonder, how are you able to drop in like that? That's amazing. I didn't even know you were there.
Jimmy Ray, listen, man. I know a guy that knows a guy that, you know, has a guy that can get anything done that needs a guy.
Okay, fair enough.
But you liked the theme music kick in, though, didn't you?
Yeah, that cost
a little extra.
No luxury spared, huh?
You know what? I came in to say, you know, Max Emily, you have a great show tonight. I've actually been enjoying listening to it. There's not a lot of people that are intelligent in this sport of professional wrestling that can get in here and speak a little bit of knowledge about pro wrestling, especially with you being from the UK. But I had to drop in just to say that if they're listening, Sledge and JD Horror, on May 25th, fans,
fans, I hope you pre-order your tickets. Because for all of you in SLO and San Luis Obispo that want to come out to see your hometown hero Sledge and his little best friend, J.D. Horace, step in the ring with the likes of Canadian Perfection, Shoop Shellhammer, and the czar of professional wrestling, Mr. Sasha Derevko, and myself, the greatest professional wrestler in the United States today, wrestling personified Rick Luxury, the two of you are biting off more than you can chew, and it'll be the last time anybody gets a chance to see Sledge or J.D. Horror not only step into a squared circle, but maybe even step out of a wheelchair and be able to walk on their own two legs ever again. And old man Bill, I heard you talking about promotions. If you want to make your wrestling promotion better, you need to open up the checkbook. You need to write my name down as the recipient with a blank check. I'll fill the numbers out later when you see the crowd. I can draw you. And you need to book Wrestling Personified Rick Luxury, because when Wrestling Personified Rick Luxury is on a radio show, television show, or a wrestling show, I bring legitimacy to that said show.
Can't argue with that.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Rick. And thank you for bringing up the Perfect Kings, because I can guarantee that the fans are going to see a war at the next Senkow show when we get our hands on J.J. King and Lee Befenland, because they chose to insert themselves in our business. You know, and they're going to have to pay the price for that.
Yeah, just like Sledge and J.D. Horror for running their mouths and flapping their gums, they're going to have to learn a lesson or two from the WMDs, the Wrestlers of Mass Destruction. It looks like it's going to be a battlefield come May 24th at the Grad in San Luis Obispo when Sin Cal Wrestling comes back to town. In that case, Jimmy Ray, I just wanted to drop in and say my piece. It was a pleasure spending all week long with you here in the Luxury Suite during WrestleMania week and having a grand time. I'll have to catch up with you a little bit later, though, because I got to go out and wine and dine with the ladies on the town tonight, because I'm riding high and looking fly. Rick Luxury has left the building.
Yeah, Rick's an absolute legend. That was great to hear him there, you know?
Oh, absolutely, man. Wrestling Personified. Yeah, I didn't mention it. But yeah, I was hanging out at the Luxury Suite all week, man. It was pretty awesome. It was, talk about, like, I was a camera guy, and I should have had my own camera guy just to follow me around. That should have been a reality show.
Wow, I can't even imagine the decadence of the Luxury Suite.
Oh, you have no idea. I'm going to call the show The Life of Luxury, because that's exactly what I got to live for an entire week. I mean, I had all my perks taken care of. I mean, I was covered from head to toe, man. There wasn't a single thing I even had to worry about. You know, you need anything, you need something to drink, you need something to eat, you need a ride, you need anything. I got it all. And it was nothing short of the luxury experience. And that, my friends, is not something many in the industry get to have. You know, and so I can only be nothing but thankful to Wrestling Personified for, you know, just showing a great weekend. And, you know, he had a great weekend too, man. I got to see this guy perform over at the King Indies tournament. And you seen that King Indies? They had a lot of footage for it over the weekend.
Yeah. I want to bring it up, by the way.
It was a pretty intense lot of filming. I mean, you've seen me film a show before, right? I've only filmed, you know, for 2 hours, give or take, you know, one show, about a month and a half apart. So in any given year, I probably film maybe 30 hours of wrestling, give or take, you know, okay, maybe less, maybe 25, 26 hours. We filmed over 20 hours of pro wrestling in 3 days.
That is very tough. That is tough.
Yeah.
I understand how tough that is. As I told you, I filmed the first UEW show, and it's the only time I've wrestled a show, and my back was killing me. Like, I had cramps in my back after 2 hours. Yeah.
I can't believe that, you know, the stuff that you guys do in the ring is the stuff that my back has nightmares about. You know, it's the stuff that's going to make my back, you know, turn into linguine. And yet, you know, I thought stepping into the role of the camera guy was going to be easier on me. Don't have to take any bumps, they said. Oh, who wants to wrestle, Jimmy Ray? Just you hold that camera. No, holding that camera, just like you said, man, it is a different beast all in itself. And we did three shows 2 days in a row, and then one show on one of the days before. And we did not get finished filming until 2 p.m. All of that went live on iPay-Per-View. That was kind of a big thing for me, and I'm not at all trying to put myself out there, but I didn't realize I was filming for iPay-Per-View, and I would have probably tripped out about it a lot more had I realized that before actually setting foot there. But actually getting to film stuff that was going out live, anything I've ever done has been pre-recorded, pre-edited. Someone's going to go through it later with a fine-tooth comb, yada, yada, yada. This stuff, you had to get the right shot, and you had to get it right now. And that's a very different feeling for me as a camera guy. And it really put me to the test to see if, wow, yeah, are you really as good as you think you are, Jimmy Ray? And I was going to say no. But, you know, I got a lot of compliments from the team over there, Sal and Trevin, and all the guys over there at WWN Live who do amazing work. And just the amount of stress that they have to go through to put production after production together really has kind of shown me from one end of the spectrum of a completely low-budget production that uses, you know, consumer-grade cameras, doesn't have anything better, to, wow, we're live on iPay-Per-View with all the technology we need to run live right now. And I mean, there was people subscribing to this stuff on Roku. There was, I mean, people subscribing, you know, live there on iPay-Per-View right through the internet. I mean, it was really impressive to see a production, you know, an indie production, mind you, that travels the road like, you know, Evolve and Shine and Shimmer and you know, Dragon Gate and all these other, you know, names that get, you know, they're indie promotions, but they get to travel the country. And to be able to film for them, man, was it taxing? But, man, was it an experience, something I'll never forget. And I absolutely have to thank and give my deepest thanks to, you know, Gabriel and Shannon Ramirez, who definitely gave Jimmy Ray the wrestling experience of a lifetime. And I got to say, if you guys, if you ever want to work, you know, for a decent promotion, you got to hit up Gabe, hit up Pro Wrestling Revolution, hit up anybody in the NorCal territories. The NorCal, I don't have a single, there's not a single NorCal territory that I don't have the most fondness of. And I got to say, man, you SoCal territories, man, are you guys cool too?
Yeah, that's great. That's great to hear that you know, you've been stepping it up like that.
You know, I think it was really, honestly, this is my send-off as a camera guy. I don't know if I can do camera work anymore. I'll come back as a guest. I'll definitely do King of Indies again. I already let them know if they want to ship me out of Texas when they do, you know, I think it's Houston next year, that I'm definitely down for the cause. But I think after that, I think I've officially said goodbye, Max Ammo, to camera work, because that stuff has just been killing me. And I'm not getting any younger. Really not, but I wish I was, you know. Well, let me ask you, brother, where can fans see you wrestle? Because I know SenCal, I don't want, you know, people to think, oh, wait till SenCal to see, you know, Max Ammo and Jimmy Mayhem do their thing. I mean, I know you guys have a show coming up.
Yeah, I'm very pleased. I'm very, very pleased you asked me that. We have UEW have a show coming up, April the 11th, Malicious Intent. Once again, it's live from the underground arena. You know. Once again, we'll be pushing professional wrestling beyond all limits.
And, beyond the limits.
We actually found out we had a bit of a curveball thrown at us. We thought we had a title shot against the heavy hitters, and now we find out we've got to have
that?
Now we're going to have a number one contenders match with these two guys who are flying in from Australia, Keegan Bredel and Zach Falzon.
I smell something awry here.
These guys, I mean, I've been scouting some paper bears. You know, these guys, they look good, you know. But they don't know what they're getting into when they step into the underground arena. You know, there is no way they are taking our number one contender spot for those belts, you know.
Well, aren't you guys the welcoming committee for UEW? Welcome to UEW. Pop, 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 pop. Taken to the ground.
Yeah,
you know,
well,
like...
It's unfortunate because I guess they've arranged to wrestle a series of matches
while they're in the United States, and it's a little unfortunate that the match with us in the underground arena is might be not much be much left of them to carry on and wrestle elsewhere.
Ooh, yeah. I haven't seen anybody come out of UEW looking like the way they look when they come out of the salon, or looking the way they look after they just came out of makeup and wardrobe, ready to go out to a stage. You guys look cut out.
No, I
like it
with makeup for
beaten.
A horror movie.
Yeah, it's like a horror movie, for real. Because you guys went in the ring and caused horror. And you know, there's JD horror. And there's this Supreme and Carnage and Sage. And it's just this tornado of carnage and destruction that you guys do over there. And the fans just keep pouring in. I mean, the fans are so bloodthirsty over there, too. That was something I noticed that was different from SenCal fans and UEW fans. Is that the UEW fans are just like, more blood, like they want to take home body parts at the end of the night and hopefully get one or two of them signed. And like in San Luis Obispo, someone takes too sharp of a super kick to the face, you got kids crying, and it's like, oh, no, okay, come on, and, you know, he's going to be all right in, you know, 2 to 3 weeks, but, you know, it's okay, kid, here's a little sledge doll, have fun, you know. But you see my point, though, the UEW crowd, man, they're vicious, just vicious.
I love the UEW fans. You know, they're so ruckus. You know, they're so loud, and you know, there's like, okay, there's a lot of twisted people in that crowd. But you know, I mean, I'm a fairly twisted person. I feel right at home with that. You know.
Well, sure, I'll give you that.
But it's certainly a unique atmosphere, you know, right there in the underground arena. I mean, it really is, you know, it's that brutal LA underground. You know, I mean, it's, you know, deathmatch.
And you guys do a deathmatch like every show, and not just one, sometimes two or more. And it's like, I think I've maybe seen 3 deathmatches on the Central Coast ever. And they weren't even in the same promotion. They were all in various promotions. I mean, it's like the one that obviously comes to mind is when CZW from the East Coast came to town. And it was, you know, the JD Horror and Drake Younger match. I believe that was their second encounter. And those two literally caused hell to each other. When I saw that, I said, oh, my God, that's hardcore. Like, I've seen hardcore wrestling, yeah. I've watched it on TV. Nothing on TV prepares you for seeing that stuff live. Even if you saw the same match on TV in the video, so I'm not trying to dissuade audience from just seeing stuff on video, but even the videos, ladies and gentlemen, does not do justice to this stuff when you see it live. There's just a different element. When you get to see whatever you want, not what the camera shows you, you decide when to look away. You decide when it's too much to be seen. And, you know, to see hardcore action like that, I mean, referee Guido, when I met referee Guido, I was a lowly camera guy filming at a show that he put together in Petaluma. You know, when Ultimate, I think it was Ultra Violent Wrestling United, came to Petaluma, and it was nothing but hardcore matches. Hardcore match after hardcore match after hardcore match. And honestly, like, it was, that to me was probably the most insane thing I think I've ever bared witness to. The unlucky 13 match, go ahead and Google that one. Between Brittany Wonder and at the time, Kurai Hime. I met so many people that night that I didn't realize that I would have such a road with. And referee Guido was at the epicenter of all that. So you got to understand, when I came to UEW for the first time, I saw referee Guido there. It's like, oh, God, you see referee Guido anywhere? And it's relative assurance that hardcore is about to go down. And you guys deliver. I mean, you guys at UEW absolutely deliver. There is never a single empty seat in that audience. I mean, there is people there just thriving for more. And when the seats are empty, it's because they've rushed the ring to get a closer look. And
yeah,
in this last show, whew, amazing, guys.
The things that, you know, like the guys like JD Horror, BC Killer, put their bodies through for the fans, is absolutely insane, you know. And they manage somehow to top it every show. Like, as you were there for the last show for the Taipei Paupai Deathmatch, it was just, that was just insane, you know.
cool. Absolutely.
But also, I've got to interject and say, you know, UEW isn't just death matches. You know, we have like great cruiserweight matches, you know, like great heavyweight matches. You know, the tag team division, which obviously we're part of, we're very proud to be a part of. We really think we're bringing some good tag team wrestling to East LA as well. You know, it's a lot
sure.
more.
Sure, you got some guy as your heavyweight champion, right? Just some dude, right?
He's a guy.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. You know the hair, and he does the, you know, with the fingers, and he's cool. You know, I heard of him once. You know, I didn't know him. Well, he ate at a restaurant once, and I was there just getting to go. So it was different. But yeah, you guys are definitely more than just hardcore. But I'll be damned if when you guys go hardcore. You really go hardcore. I mean, this last time you had barbed wire ropes. That's something that I don't think I would have ever seen in the United States. I thought that was only allowed in Japan. And, no, you guys brought it to Los Angeles. And, I mean, that really just... How far does the bar keep going? Like, how many times can UEW raise the bar before you guys just start feeling?
I mean, there's a lot of things that go down in the arena that already aren't legal, you know. I mean, you know, I myself have done things to people that, you know, in the wrong circumstances could seem in a lot of hot water. So, I mean,
oh, sure.
You know, it's like...
kind of like Fight Club, though. Anyone who goes, no one's going to talk about it because they don't want to break the first and second rule, you know? So, it's from the fans to everyone that's a part of it. It's like, well, you know, none of us are going to break our silence. And then if anyone asks, we'll say, oh, that, anything you saw on TV, it's just fake because it's TV, right? Everything from Hollywood's fake. Ha, ha, ha. That's just TV. Don't worry about it. And then none of us talk about what we all saw that night in person.
Well, that's how it is. You know, the UEW fans,
yep.
they're very passionate about their promotion, you know?
Right. To the authorities, to anyone, you know, to the building inspections and safety codes, this is all just a show. Everyone's just, we're all just larger-than-life characters. We all, no one gets hurt. That's lots of stage blood. You should see our stage blood bill. It is through the roof. Totally safe here. No need for a second inspection this year, we assure you. Yeah, whatever we have to say to get those guys off our backs, because honestly, you guys put together a product that just, I think, really, I thought pro wrestling itself defied human limits. But to see hardcore wrestling intermixed with pro wrestling, I mean, that really defies what people define as pain. You know, I see a lot of, you know, people complain about, oh, you know, I heard this, heard that. I mean, I've seen you guys literally cut open and just bleeding all over the place profusely. And this is after rolling around and busted, you know, light tubes and stuff like that. And it's just insanity. And like I said, man, if you guys did that stuff in San Luis, you'd scare everybody, man. Everyone would go home. They'd be like, oh, my God, that person's bleeding. Yeah, the fans here are too timid. They're just, we're a different crowd. They're soft. They're like little soft lambs. You just have to rub them and say, oh, little lamb, I'm just going to rub you. But over in freaking Los Angeles, it is like ghosts. And they're like, yeah, we want more. Give us carnage. You know, like, I mean, it is a totally different atmosphere. And I just hats off big time to your guys' fans. Because they are absolutely the best when it comes to just getting into it. And I think that's what it's really all about, is did you deliver a good show to your fans? And if you answer that question, yes, you're a hell of a promotion. And, I mean, really, there is not a single indie promotion that I've heard of in a while that doesn't at least do that. I mean, that's what we can say, is Indie Pro in California really does deliver to its fans. And I think as a whole, if we continue to support Indie Pro, go to every show you hear about, even if, you know, one show is on the same day as something else, okay, we'll just decide who you want to see. But come see Indie Pro. That's the important thing, because once you start going to these shows, you're going to find out, you're going to start seeing guys like Max Ammo and Jimmy Mayhem. I mean, they're just on the radio show, and they're already getting told, hey, we're going to come scout you guys. We're going to get you over here. I mean, that is the power of online networking. And, you know, May 24th, could not come soon enough. I mean, Max Ammo, before I let you go here, final thoughts on the Perfect Kings.
On the Perfect Kings?
Yeah, Lee Perfetto, JJ King. They decided to come in the metal with you guys, thinking that they could just walk into SenCal Pro like, what, like some kind of babyface tag team? Like the audience is just supposed to love them because, well, hey, we came in and knocked out the bad guys? Well, you know, I can't blame them. I probably would too. But they did stick their nose, well, in a pepper patch.
They inserted themselves into our business, which they had absolutely no cause to, and to be blunt about it, now they're going to reap the whirlwind, you know. And whether or not the fans regard them as the good guys or not, that's just irrelevant to us, you know. We have zero respect for fans' opinion.
It doesn't sound good for what seems to be in store for the Perfect Kings. I mean, they were a late addition.
They're in for a rough ride, much like your hat at the last show.
Yeah, right? You know, it's, oh, God, my hat. Just a bastion for scrutiny, let me tell you.
We've seen them work. They're athletes. You know, it's going to be a war, but it's going to be a war we're going to win, you know.
Well, you know, I mean,
the fans are going to win too, you know, because they're going to see a great match.
They're going to see destruction in the ring. I mean, if you're going to be able to get in the ring in a pro wrestling environment, you need to understand that guys from all sizes, from all walks of life, could potentially be your next opponent. And I had a feeling that you and Jimmy Mayhem had other intentions in mind. When all of a sudden the Perfect Kings stuck their nose in your business, and now it seems that whatever intentions you may have had prior are now no longer irrelevant because there's a more important task at hand, and that is letting the Perfect Kings know Urban Discipline is not just a clever name.
Exactly. We have to make an example of them, you know.
The example is going to be rough.
Yeah.
And I know that if I was the Perfect Kings, I would hope that I just wasn't listening to this radio show. That way we just walk into this blindly come May 24th and have no idea any of this conversation took place. Because if not, I would have a hard time reaching May 24th if I was the Perfect Kings. Thankfully, I'm Jimmy Ray, and I have hard enough time reaching May 24th if it is. So.
Yeah. Well, it can't come soon enough for me or Jimmy Mayhem. You know, we can't wait to get back to the Central Coast and, you know, assert our dominance.
That's awesome. Well, you know, we're going to go ahead and close the show here, Max Ammo. I really appreciate you being on the show. I want to throw a curveball at you before we end the show. I wanted to ask you, I heard through the grapevine, are you working on a movie?
I beg your pardon? Could you say that again, Jimmy Ray?
I said, I heard through the grapevine. Are you working on a movie?
I'm writing a movie.
Really?
I've written seven feature-length scripts, you know?
Wow.
That's why I moved out to Los Angeles in the first place from the UK.
Interesting. What can I pry any details about your latest script?
The one I'm working on right now is a sci-fi script I'm working on with a friend of mine who's a producer. I can't really say anything about it actually right now. But prior to that, I've written some horror movies. You know, I'm a big horror fan, and a couple of dramas. And right now is when I'm working on a script for a really low-budget horror movie I want to make, hopefully get crowdfunded, called Run, Strippers, Run. But probably, I'll talk about that in another show, maybe.
Hey, I tell you what, as soon as you have that funding thing go live, you just let me know, and we'll do a show out of it. We'll feature you. We will see if we can get at least $20 raised. I guarantee $20 is going to come raised from SynCal Pro Radio, and if we can get more,
I plan on making this a big budget movie. You know, I want at least $500.
$500. So all you $20 bidders, the bar just got raised $500, and maybe if I get, I might be able to get the fans to pull together and pay it. I mean, San Luis Obispo, I don't know. San Luis Obispo fans are rich, man. These are all, you know, kids that go to Cal Poly, and they got, you know. You know, it's extra money because mom and dad are just like, oh, little Tobin needs to go to college. You know, I got extra money in my trust fund. And, yeah, and, you know, they got extra money. I have a feeling maybe we can find some investors. We'll see if we can get people to pull together. But that sounds awesome, man, that you were kind of transcending, you know, the pro wrestling world and taking everywhere. I find out that wrestlers are musicians. I find out that, that wrestlers
know,
are all actors.
It's all storytelling, you know? I mean, at the end of the day. You know, it's all about, like, telling the people a compelling story that they're going to want to watch. They're going to want to pay their money to see, you know, whether it's a movie or a wrestling match or the whole wrestling show, you know?
Well, you know, Kurt Cobain said it best. Here we are now. Entertain us. And when you have an audience, when you have their attention, telling the story becomes the most important thing. And if you're telling a good story, you know, even if you tell a bad story well, you can still keep an audience entertained. I think it's just telling a story well. Doesn't even matter if it's a good story or not.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. My whole DVD collection is full of bad stories, bad movies, but they've just been told with a bit of shots for you, know, and a bit of imagination. So.
Oh, man, I'm going to have to go through your movie set sometime. That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, shoot. Well, Max Hamill, before we close out the show, where can fans find out more about you? If they want to go online, if they want to go, well, you know, Jimmy Ray's finally shut up, but I still wanted to know more about Max Hamill because you didn't let him talk nearly enough. Where can they find you online?
They can find me online on Facebook. And Urban Discipline has a Facebook page as well. And, of course, ITV show, which... fans, you've got to check out. It really is. There's some great matches on there. So the UEW, Underground Empire Wrestling, Facebook page as well. And, of course, ThinkHow, Facebook page.
Right on, right on. Well, yeah,
yeah.
Check out Max Ammo. Check out Jimmy Mann. Check out Urban Discipline, because they're the new bad guys on the streets of San Luis. I won't be surprised if we see Urban Discipline cleaning up the streets of San Luis Obispo. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, rich, entitled kids that are, you know, all over the streets at like crazy hours, man, you know, and someone needs to go out there and give these kids some Urban Discipline. And I have a feeling that the streets are going to be a little bit cleaner when Max Sammo and Jimmy Mayhem come to town. So, kids, clean it up. Urban Discipline's coming for you.
Yeah. And April the 11th as well, man. If you're in LA, don't forget UEW, Malicious Intent. Let me get that one more plug in, you know, because it's going to be a hell of a show.
Yeah. We have 10 more days until that show goes live. And if you're not in the LA area, be in the LA area for that. I'm going to go. I guarantee I'm going to be there. I happen to usually be in the caravan that goes. But even if I wasn't, I would have insisted, hey, man, I want to go to UEW. It has delivered every single time. I mean, you could not get closer to the action.
The great thing for fans, too, is if they want to plug into the storylines, the build-up to the matches at the next show, you know, they're all right there on the TV show, too, for them to watch, you know.
That's right. UEW's got a TV show. If we have anyone to look up to, I think if they're a sister company, it's a big sister company, because we here at SenCal, we got a lot to learn. You know, you're never done learning. But you guys have your own TV show on top of the production that you do.
Yeah. Yeah. Kyle Wilde does a great job of presenting that show.
Yeah. Kyle, I'm a big fan of Kyle Wilde. You know, at some point, I really do hope. I met him once. You know, he was busy. He was eating. And, you know, really wasn't allowed to. You know, it was lunch. And I sort of snuck in. And they're like, hey, do you have an ID card? And I was like, oh, no. That's Kyle Wilde, right? And they're like, sir, you need to leave. But I'm, you know, at some point, I'm going to meet this guy because I know he's an awesome dude. But, yeah, you guys got a great crew over there, man. UEW, check them out. SenCal Pro, we're coming back in just a few, like weeks, 5, 6, 7 weeks and counting. So before you can see us, you got to go out and see UEW. You know, Ammo, the system finally allowed me to use your music here tonight. Can you believe it?
Wow.
Yeah, this is the music for Ammo. I'm going to go ahead and just kind of, you know, we're gonna break format here. This is what I attempted to use. Yeah, right? See, that would have been cool.
Yeah.
Like, ladies and gentlemen, you know, from Los Angeles, the streets of Los Angeles, give it up for Max Ammo. Yeah, would have been way cooler had I had the music. But, you know, I think for April Fools, I think the WL Fraley Studios, my friend, was screwing with me. Someone is screwing with me in here because half my sound audio bites don't work. Now they do. I don't know who's screwing with me, but... it's going to happen. Well, thanks so much, Mac Demo, for being on the show, brother. We'll have you on again.
Hey, thank you for having me on, Jimmy Ray.
Absolutely, no problem. SenCal Pro Radio is signing off tonight, but, you know, this isn't your last little bit of SenCal you can get. Oh, no, you got to check us out on Facebook. You got to check us out basically everywhere you can where there's social media, at SenCal Pro, Twitter. You know, you can check us out at facebook.com/SenCalPro. We got Instagram coming. We got everything. You know, say, hey, you got it, we got it. If we don't have it, hit us up and say, hey, SenCal, you guys are stupid. You need to have YouTube, which we got. You need to have Ustream, which we got. Blog Talk Radio, which we have. I don't know if there's anything we're missing, but if we are missing, you know, definitely let us know. Ladies and gentlemen, really? Are you serious? All right, I am going to get out of here, guys, before there are any more April 1st fools. Ribs. Who's doing this? Discord, I know it's you.